Jesus, you are an awesome God to us. So grateful, Lord, that you give us all of these fruits. You give us the Holy Ghost that we can, these are provided for us every day. And I was just so amazed, and even he said it tonight, everyone that's gotten up here and spoken on these fruits have said how much they ministered to them when they were studying them. And I was asking Pastor Anthony, I said, how did you know which one of these lessons to give each one of us? I don't know how he done it, but he picked the right one for me, I'll tell you. But anyway, I'm talking about gentleness tonight. And the more I studied in this to realize that I'm not very gentle. You think you are, but Galatians 5:22, you can all probably quote it by now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But we have all of these through the Holy Ghost. We can't do them on our own, that's for sure. In the rough and tumble world in which we live in our century today, gentleness is certainly no longer considered a virtue. Meekness is not exactly first on the list of character traits for those wanting to succeed in business. Humility gets trampled in the dust every day by high achievers. And they want to go higher and higher, and they will push to get to the top. In North America, we fiercely contend for our rights, believing that to be brazen and bold is best. If no one else is going to blow my horn, I'm going to blow it for myself. You know, we're going to get to the top. We're bold and brazen. If you don't think this is true, just take a look at our last election and see who got voted in there. Who would have thought? You know, at the beginning, this guy is so bold and so brazen, and he'll never make it. And then that's what happened. But and he continues to be that way today. I tell you, I work for this little lady, and she's a Democrat. And I'm not saying anything about anybody's political preference. I'm just saying she's a very staunch Democrat, and the news is on day and night, constantly on these stations that she prefers. And you would think the man never does anything right. I think the other half is still in shock that he is president today. They have no clue how he's ever going to make it. And each day they wake up, they're wondering if he's still the president. But you know what? He got the job done. He's our president. He's our leader. And we're going to pray for him every day and pray that God will work through him. But that's not, when you think about our world today and how crucial it is for them to be bold and brazen like that, because you learn that from a small child. When you're just first raised, you know, your parents will tell you, now, you know, stand up and be a man. You got to learn to walk on your own 2 feet, and you've got to do this and that. And when I was thinking about this, I was just reminded of this one little story about you I'll tell. But he wasn't always Pastor Anthony. And whenever he was just like in the first grade, he and I was going for a walk one day. And I was asking him, Anthony, how do you like your new school? You having fun at school? He said, yeah, but there's this little boy, and he's mean to me. And he pushes me down, and he trips me all the time. And so here, you know, Mama Bear just raises up, and I'm saying, well, that's not right. You know, and I had to be very careful because he got the Holy Ghost when he was 5 years old. And I said, I know that you are a Christian boy and you're a good boy, and I know you want to make friends, but sometimes you have to stand up for yourself, and you can't just let these bullies be pushing you around and everything. And we just kind of went on, and a while later, I don't know how much longer it was, we were going for another walk, and I asked him, I said, Anthony, how's school going? Is that little boy still bothering you? And he said, oh, no, he don't bother me anymore. I said, well, good. I didn't ask, and he didn't tell. So, I don't know, but you know, you have to teach your children, you know, you can't just let them be bullied all the time or get hurt. They have to stand up for themselves, and that's the way we're taught from our life. In Matthew 18:4, You know, when we hear all of these things about the world that we're living in the face of all this, what a shock it is to hear the words of Jesus. He looks at things a whole lot different than we do. Matthew 18 and 4, "Whosoever there shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom." So where does the truth really lie? Who really has the secret of success? Do we adopt the view of the world? But the success is, you have to depend, it depends on whose standard of success you want to adopt. Who are you wanting to succeed for? Who are you wanting to please? The King Version calls the part of the fruit of the Spirit meekness, while many of the new translations call it gentleness. It comes from the Greek word praios. It means, gentleness means a disposition that is even-tempered, mild, tranquil, unpretentious, and has its passions under control. It's praios. It's gentleness. It's the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. But we have all of this because of the Holy Ghost inside us. We can't be gentle in this world without the Holy Ghost. In your life and in mine, so many times we come into this situation. Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. Can you say that with me? Gentleness is the power of your potential under God's control. Well, without it, we will never be what God wants us to be. Okay, we're getting into five qualities of a gentle person. 836. It spells power, actually. And the first one, P, we're going to talk about personality. Gentle people have their personality under God's control. Our personalities are made up of our character traits, which can make or break any relationship. You know, if you have a terrible personality, you know, you're not going to last very long because people pick up on it really, really quick. What are some of these things that, you know, the personalities that you have? You look for honesty, humility, a sense of humor, compassion. But negative character traits that you don't like to see: rudeness, temper, stubbornness. And if we're honest, we all have some of these kinds of characteristics in our life. I remember when the boys were younger, I didn't realize this, but I hated to scream. You know, you'd be around some of these mothers, and they were always screaming at their kids and screaming at this and screaming at that. Well, we had a whole church full of people. I couldn't go around screaming at my kids all the time. And I remember the first house we lived in, they lived upstairs, and I'd go up there, and I'd stand at the bottom of the stairs, and I'd say, "Boys, come down." Well, you know, wait, and I'd go up and say, "Boys, I told you to come down." And, of course, I'm not screaming now, but I'm screaming at them. And then, you know, I'd go the third time, "Boys, if I have to come up there, you're going to be sorry," and all this kind of thing. Well, I went to a ladies' retreat one time, and the lady that was speaking had this little soft voice. She's a little tiny woman, and she told us, a real woman never raises her voice. So I went home. I made this rule. I said, "I'm through screaming. I'm not going to be screaming anymore. I know you hear me. Whenever I go to the stairs, I know you hear me up there. And if I say, 'Boys, you better come down,' you better come down. Because if you don't, if I have to come all the way up the stairs to get you, you're going to be very sorry." But, you know, these personality traits that we have, we have to work on them. They don't always just come easy. And I know he tells the story about when we lived, they didn't have any place to play. And they one lot that they did have behind the house, they played over there all day long. They would play ball. And then something happened, and the old man got upset with the children. Somebody was throwing rocks in his yard. It wasn't mine, of course, but somebody was. But anyway, he took a sign and nailed it to the tree. And you've heard him tell the story about he only heard of Jesus and his mother cursing a tree. Well, I went by that tree and I saw that sign up there and I got so upset because here they're living in the city, no place to play in the one little spot. Now they couldn't play there anymore and I really got upset. And I, you know, you say you cursed the tree. I wasn't out there cussing or anything like that. I was just thinking. You know, I've heard if you put a nail in a tree, it will die. I don't know if that's true or not, but I was thinking, okay, buddy, you nailed that sign up there to your tree. It's liable to die. That's probably what I was thinking. And you'll probably be sorry someday that tree died. But anyway, next spring, that tree was dead. I'm not kidding you. But you know what? You know, I don't tell that story. This is the first time I've ever told it. Because you know what? It really scared me. Because you know what? We have the power in our tongue to curse or bless. And later I got to thinking, what if I'd done that to that old man? You know, what if I'd have been really upset at him? Some reason I took it out on the tree and it's the one that died. But we have to be very careful. Our personalities, we have to, you know, don't want them to get in the way of what God is trying to do with our life. Jesus had three close friends, Peter, James, and John. And Peter was always boasting, always the first one out of the boat. When Jesus was being led in the garden, he's the one that, without even thinking, just picked up a sword and cut off a guy's ear, right? When Jesus was there and he had to pick it back, Jesus picked it up and put it back on him and told him, put that sword away. You're going to hurt somebody. But anyway, and James and John, you know, they both said, Jesus, when you come to your kingdom, I want to sit on the left, and he wants to sit on the right. And one time they went into a city, and the Samaritans wouldn't let them in, and James and John said, how about we just call fire down out of heaven and just kill all of them, just like Elijah did? And Jesus said, no, we're not doing that today. We'll go another route. But Jesus saw these people. He saw the personalities that they had, but he stuck with them. He stuck with them because he saw their potential. He knew the power of their potential. And that's what we have to do with personalities and people that rubs us the wrong way sometimes. We have to overlook their character flaws and see them how God sees them. See them as a missionary. See them as a pastor. See them as a good Christian person. We have to overlook their personalities and see them as God sees them. Jesus stuck with his apostles, and Peter, of course, preached on the day of Pentecost and had the keys and told us all how to be saved. And James was the half-brother of Jesus, but he was the leader of the whole Jerusalem church. And then, of course, John, you know, he's the one that gave us the revelation. But Jesus had compassion on these people and looked past their faults to see their potential in him. Jesus saw the power of their potential, and he didn't give up. Let's read Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Put our personalities under God's control. You know, what do you need God to work on in your life? We all have personality flaws. What is it that you need God to work on you? Just ask him. In all of these fruits that we've been learning about, you know, they're there for our taking. We just have to believe that we already have the Holy Ghost, so we can tap into these fruits and have these fruits of the Spirit available to us at all times and be in our life whenever we need them. Let's read John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. We need Jesus in our life to change our personalities. Okay, let's move on to O. We're spelling power, and O is outlook. Outlook. As we allow the Holy Ghost to control our character traits, it has an incredible effect on our outlook on how we see other people. Our attitudes toward them change. Our actions toward them change. When we see them as God sees them, we have a whole different outlook. When you came into church, didn't you have a whole different outlook? I remember Brother Cox's grandpa, my father-in-law, he fought his wife. He never wanted to go to church. He made fun of them all the time. One time they were all in church, and he went to pick them up, and he said, "You better close those windows," said, "somebody with them white trucks is going to come by and pick up all of you and haul you off." And they said, "What happened?" They said, "Well, you have the windows open and grown men and women walking around the church doing their little hankies and praising and God. If somebody didn't know what was going on, they would think you were all a bunch of nuts." But you know what? When he got in church, when he got saved, he had a whole different outlook. And Brother Cox used to tell the story about he never fails. They had a victory march one day, and his dad was leading the victory march, waving his handkerchief and praising God because he had a different outlook. When you look at things God's way, it changes the way you think and the way you act and how you look at things. And Philippians 2:3-4. "Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position as a slave and appeared in human form. And he obediently humbled himself and dying a criminal's death on a cross." When our outlook comes under God's control, you become a little more understanding and more gentle with people and understand of their weaknesses. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, I was at work. Now, everybody knows that if you have a melon, like a cantaloupe or something, you have to turn it every day. Did you know that, or just rotten on one side? I didn't know that either till I started work, because this lady eats melon every day. So every night for 3 years, I've heard, "Don't forget to lock the doors and turn the melon." And so I know this. Well, but this girl came in, and wouldn't you know, I bought this melon, and the whole time I was there, I was very carefully turning it every day, so when I got back next week, it would be good and ripe and just perfect for cutting and be sweet and soft and nice. Well, when I got there, the lady that I was changing places with, she was standing there, and I reached to turn the melon, and my thumb went clear through it. And all of a sudden, and I was just thinking, oh, my goodness, you know. And then I said to her, "You didn't turn the melon. It's rotten now on one side." And I was thinking, oh, my goodness, now what are we going to do? Most of the melon was rotten, and the little lady's going to be upset. And I was thinking all of this, and the woman standing there, you know, I was just thinking about all of this stuff and saying, oh, my goodness. And the lady said, "Well, I don't think I have a right to be yelled at because I didn't turn the melon." And I said, "I'm not yelling." See, I have to be very careful because sometimes people think I'm really upset when I'm really not. I mean, I used to go, my kids used to get upset with me if I would go, "Oh, Terry, Terry, Terry." That would upset them to no end. I wouldn't have to do anything. But anyway, I said, "Oh, I'm not yelling." She said, "Yes, you're yelling at me because I didn't turn the melon." And I just went on. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." Because here this little old lady, and she's only worked for us a couple of months. She didn't know she's supposed to be turning the melon every day. And she was sickly. And you know what? When I looked at her, I realized she's too pitiful to be yelling at. I'm just really glad. I'm really glad she works for us, because she works Saturday and Sunday, and I'm not turning anybody's melon on Saturday and Sunday. I can't believe I was so nervous before I got up here. I just kept praying, oh, Jesus, take away the fear. Lord Jesus, help me. If you don't help me, I'm never doing this again. And anyway, let's go. Let's see what's next. What letter are we on? Okay. Let's go to words. Good example of that tonight. Every human being that is old enough to talk instinctively knows the power in words, right? That's why we talk so much. But words can either be devastatingly destructive or enormously encouraging. It depends on your words. And the tongue, I'm reading in the new LT, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil full of deadly poison. And if there's anything that I pray, God, put a watch before my lips and help me not to say something. Oh, wouldn't it just be horrible to say something that would harm somebody or discourage somebody or turn somebody from this blessed truth that we hold so dear, we pray for them so hard, and then our mouth just speaks out all of this stuff. And we just have to be so, so careful. And I'm reminded of that often when we go places and I have people come up to me and say, oh, Sister Cox, I know you probably don't remember me, but I stayed in your house years ago. And I remember you did this and you did that. And I'll never forget what you said to me. And I'm so thankful. Most people that come up to me and say that, I've usually said something good to them. Nobody's ever come up and said that I hurt them really, really bad. But I'm thankful to God that for years I prayed, Jesus, help me say the right thing and do the right thing. And so I don't hurt anybody's feelings or cause them to go away. It's all up here. It's all in your mouth. And you know what else I've had to pray in this new age that we live in? When I learned how to text, you know, that got me into trouble a few times. Because, you know, nobody knows how you're saying it. And when you text something, they don't know how you meant it. They don't know what a frame of mind you was in. You could just be joking something. And then they don't understand the text that you sent. What did you mean by that? What's that all about? You know, so I had to pray, God help me with my texting. Because once you push that button, it's gone and you can't take it back. And sometimes things pop up that you didn't even mean to send. You didn't intend to send them things. So, you know, you just have to be very careful with your words and with your texting. Okay, let's move on to E, expectations. When someone disappoints you, are you gentle or are you judgmental? Even in your relationship with God. When we mess up, God is not waiting with a fist. And I'll have to say this, and I won't say anything else funny, but I couldn't help but think years ago there was the Three Stooges, and every time one of them would say something and get in trouble, and they'll say, oh, I ought to knock you into next week, and they were punching out their eyes and popping them on the head. And I was, you know, and I was just thinking about God, when we mess up, when we come to him, you know, he's not going to knock us into next week. He's going to work on us, and he's going to help us. And he's going to show us, if we're sincere and we pray to God, he will show us what our situations are and how we need the help and what we are doing that's wrong. and how we can help, how he can help us. Just like the prodigal son, you know, when he finally came to himself and said, I'm going to go back to my father, he says, I know I'm not worthy to be your son, but if you can just let me be as one of the hired servants. But, you know, the father was waiting with open arms, just waiting for him to come in. And that's the way our heavenly father is for us. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to condemn you. When you come with your situations to him, he sees you and he sees your potential. And he sees what you can be used in his kingdom. And he's there with open arms to help you. Expectations. Ephesians 4 and 2, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And, you know, this all goes back to the submission, you know, being with one another and helping one another and submitting to one another. How about you whenever, remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he said the true God can pull the fire down out of heaven? And so they tried all of their gods and everything and nothing happened. And Elijah prayed and the fire fell down from heaven, consumed all of the sacrifice, all of the water. And I think there was like 40 priests, a Baal priest or something that was killed during all that time. And then you would think this would have been such a great victory. But the next thing we read, Elijah is up in the mountaintop and he's hid in a cave because this woman, Jezebel, she says, for tomorrow night, you're going to be dead. I'm coming after you. And so he got so scared. I mean, he just had this tremendous, it called fire down to heaven. You know, and everything, and he went and hid in a cave and hiding from this one woman that he thought was going to take his life. And while he was there, you know, he heard the big earthquake, and then there was a fire, and the big strong wind, but God wasn't in any of that. But he heard God's voice in the still small voice. God spoke to him. He was running and hiding, and he was praying to die. God wasn't through with him, but God didn't destroy him. He just spoke to him in a still, small voice, and that's how he heard God. How about you? Are you a wind, an earthquake, or a fire that kills someone? It depends on your response. We have to be gentle. With gentleness, when someone disappoints us, we had to be careful how we handle that. We had to be careful about our unrealistic expectations as well. You know, all of us are guilty of those. We can have those as well. Let's look at response. And I'm closing with that. Have you ever thought about the word responsible? You could say it like this, response able. Gentle people are able to control their responses in life. The way they respond is due to their internal disposition, not their external conditions. This don't depend on what's going on outside. It's all about what's on the inside. So we have to be very careful about how we respond to things. Our relationship with God, our responsibility is crucial. And in closing, I'm going to be reading Psalms 34, 17 through 19. Sister Candy, if you want to get a gentle song for us. I really want to talk. Read these scriptures. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Won't you stand with me? I'm going to share something that happened a couple of weeks ago when Brother Bailey was here that Sunday. Wasn't that an awesome service? And something had happened to me that week. Nobody knew about it. But all of a sudden, something came to light that had happened in my life 3 or 4 years ago. It was a very sad time. It was a very difficult time for me. But I got through it. God's help. He blessed. I got through all of that and hadn't even thought about it for years. And then all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, something happened, and it brought all those feelings back on me again. And all the way I felt and the hardships that I went through. And it was just like, oh, man, why did this happen again? I thought that was all behind me. I thought I'd got the victory over that. And I was struggling with that on Sunday when I came to church. And Brother Bailey, he was really moved, and he sought after to God. You could really tell he was trying to go by the leading of the Spirit, and he was talking. It was like he was just talking straight to me. But then the altar was just filled with people. Well, during that time, before the preaching, actually, the moving of the Spirit, and some people was up here, I came up here and asked if he would pray for me. And so he prayed over me, Brother Hawks, and then he prophesied over me. And then he said, I'm going to have my wife, Chastity, come up, and we're going to pray for you. And they both were just praying for me. And during that prayer, the Lord is my witness, I, for some reason, turned around and put my hand on Chastity's head. And I began to pray with such compassion and such power over her that while I was praying, I saw this gold color was just all around me. And I was thinking about it as I was praying with her. It was so powerful. But I just saw gold. You know, sometimes when my eyes were closed, and sometimes, you know, you can see a bright light through your eyes when they're closed or whatever. But I saw the color gold. I had no clue what it was about or what it meant or if it was from God or if it was just something happening. But when I was praying for her, this happened to me. And so then I went back and sat down, and then he began to preach. And I don't know if you remember the part when he was talking about people that were broken. Not so much people, but vessels and instruments that had been broken. Beautiful vessels that had been broken, and they were good for nothing. They couldn't use them for anything. And they were discarded. And somebody come along and had this idea, we'll take those broken pieces and we'll mend them back together with gold. And they put these pieces, these beautiful pieces that had been broken, put them back together, and they built them back up, and they mended them with gold. And now all of a sudden, these precious pieces have become so much more valuable. Now everybody's wanting them because they had been broken, but now they have all this gold woven in them and making them strong again and making them one beautiful piece. And they become very valuable, more valuable than before, because now they've got this gold all around them. And when he was telling that story, all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord spoke to me. And I'm just sharing this with you because I just felt like God was saying to me, you're much more valuable to me now than then. And sometimes, you know this, you know people, and maybe even in your own life, when you've messed up, you've not been faithful to God, or you've sinned, you've done something that's not right, and you think, now I'm not good, God won't love me anymore, I'm not fit for the kingdom, I can't do anything, God won't ever use me, but I'm all broken, I'm no good for anything. But then God will come in and weave this gold around us, and he makes us fit for the master's table, because we have been tried in the fire and have come out as pure gold. You are very valuable to God. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes I was just thinking, You know, sometimes we get wounded, we get broken, and then we do this self-help stuff, you know. We'll read books and we'll patch ourselves up. There, that ought to take care of that broken part. You'll be okay now. And then maybe something will happen, we'll get knocked down again and open that all back up again, it comes out. Or maybe a friend, a good friend will say, they'll counsel with us or they'll help us and they'll tell us something and we'll patch over that wound again. Oh, there, now that's better, that's going to help it. Something will come in our life. But until you let God into your life, until you let God take you and transform you and purify you, the only way that God can do, every time you get bumped, this wounds are going to open all up again. God wants to heal you completely. He wants to do a great and a mighty work in your life that only He can do. We can't do it on our own. We can't fix what's broken. Only God can fix it because He's so gentle with us. He's so gentle with us. Let's all praise God. Let's raise our hands and thank God that He is such a gentle God and helps us and delivers us.